Good evening. Welcome to Politically Incorrect with your host, Andrew Schechter. This week's topic is God and Nation, the Keystone of America. Brought to you by EternalAffairsMedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, author of Darkwater, Game Over, and two-time delegate for Donald Trump at the Republican National Convention. Please help us if you can with a donation at donate.eamedia.online or by buying some bling at store.eamedia.online. Please help keep the truth online. Good evening, everybody, and acknowledge Joanne. Thank you. We open with our prayer as usual. And Heavenly Father, tonight we pray for the well-being of the greatest American president that ever existed. The president who gave up his life, his fortune, and his paycheck. Not for personal gain, not for personal publicity or satisfaction, but for us, your children. God, see our president through these trying times. See his family through these trying times and lay your glorious hand upon those evildoers who would see harm come to him. We pray these things in your glorious, gracious name. Amen. We have our usual donors, our patrons, anyone who wants to give a dollar or $2 or even just a smiley face or a heads up. Little, you know, thank you, a note on the screen here of appreciation. Patrons, though, their ongoing patrons are Lisa, Reverend Dave, Alicia, and Catherine. And I donate myself, but I don't usually put my name on a list because I'm the host. But I always give money because I don't think that you should take and not give back. Now, if someone's giving you something and kind enough to give you an opportunity to speak to an audience, giving you an opportunity to do pretty much anything at no charge, the least you can do is support them, especially when there's a cost involved. So if anyone can help, we'd really appreciate it. Also, please let other people know. We've got four in the queue right now. We usually get five or six people. You know, my shows rank pretty high amongst the shows on this channel. And even with the few people I have, this very high appreciation level. So if you can share and like and pass on this channel and our podcast, be forever grateful. And check out some of the other great people on the EA Media channel as well. So the topic is God and Nation, Keystone of America. We'll get to that in a minute. See what's happened to Donald Trump? They're going after him. You know, these losers are wasting our time and money going after the man who did the most for our country in 100 years. We've got illegals crossing the border, bringing disease, bringing hatred, violence. We got a building collapsed in Florida, hundreds missing. And what are they worried about? Putting Donald Trump in jail for tax evasion. You know, we can't put up with this. We got to put these people in their place. You know how much Donald Trump did for the city of New York? Donald Trump and his father, Fred, pretty much reinvented New York. The same time that my father was reinventing along with his people in the Redevelopment Authority at the time, reinventing Philadelphia. They worked together as a team to rebuild the two cities. They learned from each other. And now they're throwing them in a toilet. I'm getting sick of it. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm sick of it. And if you hear me scream, there's this real mean fly flying around my studio tonight. And it's after me. It's gunning for me. It's got to be a Democrat. I don't know. It's definitely after me. It's coming for me. As long as it's not a spider, I'll be okay. Right, Anna? Yeah, spiders are the most evil things next to Nancy Pelosi. I'd rather have a spider crawling up my back than have Nancy Pelosi sitting 10 feet away. So, what else is going on? Yeah. What else is going on in the world today? You know, they just came up with a great article called "The Dark Side of Solar of the Solar Panel of the Dark Side of the of Solar Power." Now, you've heard me talk about solar power in the past, and how evil it is, and how it can't be. You know, it's untenable because of the costs, the time frames. They want to have everything electric by 2035. No more gas cars, folks. That's like trying to turn an amoeba into a human in a year. It's not going to happen. That's like saying that we were evolved instead of created. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But they want to do that. But they're finally acknowledging that it's not going to happen because you can't do it. It's physically impossible to build the infrastructure, a functional infrastructure, and have functional vehicles in that sort of time frame. And finally, they're starting to admit that. It'll be interesting to see how that progresses. And the last topic is, I'm going to bring it up anyway. You know, I wasn't going to bring it up, but I've been rooting for Bill Cosby for the last 2 years. You know, there's two schools of thought on Bill. And I got to meet Bill Cosby many years ago down at Temple University when I was attending the classes there. He was the nicest person you could imagine. Now, you got to remember that back in those days, back in the 70s, back in the 80s, back in the 60s, times were different. People were different. And it wasn't until Bill Cosby became rich and feminism came to be and the whole environment changed that these women started going after these rich people. You know, it's not right what happened. It's not the whole 1960s, 50s, especially the 50s and 60s. We're not right. They were evil. You know, I didn't even as a white male as a boy at that time, I didn't even feel it was right. Terribly evil. You know, here's the chemistry set. The perfect thing to give a boy for Christmas. Never thought that a woman could become a chemist or a mechanic. The Erector set. And how about Mr. Machine? Oh my God. What about Mrs. Machine or Ms. Machine? Terrible times. But you know what? There's two schools of thought here. And I've had good conservative Republicans that say, you know, our court system stinks. Shouldn't have been let out. They never even proved he was guilty. More important, he had a deal for turning, state's evidence against certain people that he wouldn't be put in jail, and they put him in jail anyway. What's with that? It's evil. You know, whether it's right or wrong, whether he did what they say he did or he didn't do it, when you make a deal and you promise somebody something, you got to stick with that promise. Don't tell somebody you're going to give them a get out of jail card free and then put them in jail. It's unethical. It's evil. All right, enough of that talk. That's the heads up. And these are some of the stories that come down in the future. We're going to add upon on them and see how they play out. Hey, did you notice the oldest astronauts going up with Bezos and his brother? I forget her name. I just saw it on the TV, and I can't remember her name now. 82 years old. She was in the original program for, the very first, before the Gemini. And then they closed the program down. One of them would have been first women. There was like 12 of them. And one of them would have been the first woman in space if they hadn't closed the program down. Mercury. That was the Mercury program. She's going up. When they go up, and I guess it's in a month or two, they're going to be going up. And that's really cool. That's just really too neat. Now, you know, it's a publicity stunt. Now, let's think about this, folks. Elon Musk was going to be the first to go up there and do all this. Elon Musk was going to fly these things. And then all of a sudden, Bezos comes in with his company and does this publicity stunt for this 82-year-old former astronaut trainee. You know, it makes me sick. It's great to see her going up, but it makes me sick because I know it's just a corporate publicity stunt so that Bezos gets and his Amazon crew get the contract for the space station. Evil. Nobody sees it. It's evil. Oh, this is so nice that this 82-year-old woman's going to go to space. They promised her she would go, and she never did. Now a private company's sending her up. They're not doing it for her. They're not doing it for us. They're not doing it for history. They're doing it for their own pocketbook to steal the contract away from the other company. How evil is that? Makes me sick. It really does. And all this time I'm thinking about God. You know, God in this country. You know that one of the biggest things people talk about is how, you know, separation of church and state, keep the church, keep God away from government, keep God off our currency, keep God out of our schools. You know, the country was founded on God. There never was a separation of church and state. You know, Thomas Jefferson made that up. There is, however, a mandate that the government not mandate or force any particular religion upon someone, nor can they go after a religion and cite it for, you know, and put it out of business, so to speak, because they don't like it. Can't do it. And yet these, not just the Democrats, but a lot of Republicans are even going after it. They're, you know, saying, yeah, you got to keep, you know, got to keep church and state separate. That's why I'm glad that, you know, DeSantis in Florida and some of the others in Texas are going after these people. You know, thank you, Marilyn. And, It's just absolutely evil what they're trying to do. You know, the very basis of our country was based on God, not Christ, not the Jews' God, not Muslims, you know, the Buddhas, and not Buddha, not anything else, but just on God. Samuel Adams, one of the firebrands of the Revolution, said, "Let us affirm the source of liberty." Now, the source of liberty, this is way back in the beginning of our nation. One of the signers of the constitutions and, you know, there are people that were involved with the founding of our nation all said the same thing. But Samuel Adams affirmed it. He said, "Let us affirm the source of liberty." So what is the source of liberty? "Ever agreeable to the nature and will of the supreme and guardian of all, yet still employed for our rights and freedom's thrill, thus proves the only source of liberty. Though our civil joy is surely expressed through hearth and home and church manifests, yet this too shall be a nation's true test to acknowledge the divine source of liberty." The founders. You know, very Declaration of Independence, everybody knows this, and people don't talk about it enough. Well, it's not one of our official documents of the nation. It was a letter to the King of England. But these founders of our great nation state quite clearly that we hold these truths to be self-evident. We hold these truths. So truths, these are things that are fact, to be self-evident, without question, unknowing, unquestionable, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights including the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And yet, they don't want In God We Trust on our currency. They don't want God in our schools. They don't want God on our buildings. They want God out of the government. You know, we had used to have a prayer at our council meetings. Before I left council, I was there for 4 years. Before I left the council, they ceased the prayer and then put in a moment of silence how you can think about whatever you want. They pulled God right out of the council meeting. Yet God was part of the founding of our nation. You know, the Magna Carta, prior even to America being founded, the British law and the Magna Carta, upon which most of our laws are based, is based upon the Bible. The rules that are given in the Bible by God himself are the rules upon which our entire nation is run. Our judicial system is based upon the Magna Carta. It's based upon God's law, which is one of the reasons it's so important that we do not acknowledge Sharia law. We do not acknowledge any law that is not of our God, not of the God of our nation, that our nation was founded upon. How can these people say there's a separation of the church and state? How can these people say God is not part of our country? How can you not acknowledge that when throughout history, God has been part of our nation? In God We Trust was put on their money in the 1950s. How would that pass if God were not part of our great nation? Problem we have now is that a lot of people refuse to believe in any God. You know, you don't have to be a Presbyterian. You don't have to be a Catholic. You don't even have to be a Christian. But you have to believe in a creator. If for no other reason than logic, there is, you know, a scientist once said, and I can't remember the fellow's name, but I read it a number of years back, that he did a calculation. He put it through the new supercomputers. It wasn't that long ago, so it was a good computer system, lots of power. He ran the permutations and let the computer try to create a single cell. That computer never created that single cell. And that was by random interactions of the stuff that the Earth was made of. But after a year of computation, a heavy computation, tens of millions of dollars of computational time, he came to the conclusion the computer had got far enough to determine that to create one cell by randomly combining stuff, randomly creating an alphabet, would take 10 times the life of the universe thus far, 130 billion years. Folks, that's a scientist. That's a scientist telling you it can't be done. And yet no one, there are people that don't believe in God. They don't believe in creation. You know, those odds are pretty much the same as taking a package full of Scrabble letters, giving them to a monkey and having him throw the letters around to form a word. Take millions and millions of years. Could happen. You could take every letter of the alphabet, get tens of thousands of copies of it, throw them around, and you could create Shakespeare, but not in our lifetime nor the lifetime of our universe. Yet God shouldn't be part of our society. The more I hear that, the more faith I have. The more I hear that, the more I believe that we need God, that we need to encourage people to believe in God. But I finally realized that even if they don't, I do. Most of my friends do. If they're my friends, they're probably believing in God. Not all of them. Not all my friends believe in God. But most do. The point is that you need to believe on your own, because you're the only one that can save yourself. The problem is, we need to save our nation. We need to bring God back to our country. We need to bring the freedom of religion. See, freedom of. Now, there's an organization. I don't know if you folks are aware of it. Some people know it, some don't. Very evil, evil, evil association. A very evil business. They call it the Freedom from Religion. It's the reason that I canceled my subscription to Scientific American, because they kept promoting that crap. And if they're going to put a half-page advertisement for an organization that says you got to stop believing in God, well, you better believe that God has told me to cancel that subscription and let them know why I canceled it. It's a satanic publication. Yeah, you can talk about it, but you just can't promote that kind of stuff. You can talk about the, you know, science, scientific proof of creation or scientific proof of God. And, you know, it's funny because the more science goes out there, the more they're coming to realization that God, creation, and science are coming closer together. And the scientists are too stupid to see. They do not have eyes. They do not have to see or ears to hear. They certainly have a mouth to yell by and to tell us to not believe in God or creation. But their own science, the very science that they preach, shows the impossibility of random chance, not just for human life, but for matter and for everything that exists in the entire universe. There's no reason for being. The only reason for existence is for the creation of beings that can observe God's great beauty. What's the point to having an entire universe filled with all kinds of glorious opportunities and glorious things to do and see? And all the beauty of the stars and the nations, all the beauty of the lands and the plants and the trees, the beauty of the thoughts of the other planets and other moons and stars. If there's no one to view it, if there's no observer, then it doesn't exist. If that tree falls in the forest and no one's there to see it, it fell, but who cares? No one saw it. It becomes a tree on the ground. And you know the funny thing? We don't exist. And God made it that way because God, I don't want to say he doesn't exist, physically doesn't exist. God doesn't physically exist any more than we physically exist. We can observe each other only because energy has congealed to show our form. God is eternal and can be anywhere and everything and anything. Because he's fluid, he's not matter, he's energy, just like we are. We're made of energy. Now, people laugh at me and think I'm crazy. But remember, I'm not just some crank out there. I'm an electrical engineer. Studies in science. Had studies in physiology and psychology in college. And I've had religious studies. And when you start digging down, when you start going in with a microscope and looking at us, let's look at anything. Let's start with us. When you look at us, you can clap your hands and your one hand stops the other. But only because of the energy that's binding them together. When the scientists go in, they said, well, first they said there's molecules, there's cells. Then they said there's atoms, and they still call them matter. even though the atoms were spinning, they couldn't really see them. But now they're digging into the atoms. They're breaking the atoms apart. And the farther down they go, they suddenly realize there's nothing more to break down. There's nothing but energy. There's no such thing as matter. Matter doesn't exist. And Albert Einstein even said that in the early 1900s. Energy equals matter. E equals mc squared. Energy equals matter. You can turn matter, it becomes energy. Energy becomes matter. It's a matter of how much energy you have. When you put all that energy together, it turns to matter. That's why a nuclear explosion is so big. A little tiny bit of matter can destroy an entire world because of the power of that energy that's contained. Do you realize that a nuclear power plant that can run for 10 years without being refueled can run a city of New York handily? When all is said and done, after those 5 or 10 years, when they take those old rods out, they've only used about 5% of the energy in that uranium. That energy can be reprocessed and to be used in a different kind of reactor and make more energy. That's a lot of energy, folks. You know, they talk about these stories, and I've heard so many stories about, you know, spontaneous combustion, that people suddenly go up in flames. And I've seen pictures of it. Now, as a firefighter, we're shown pictures of it where a person burns completely, that yet the bed sheeting and the mattress that they're laying on isn't touched. Because we're made of energy. Now, and I repeat over and over and over again that Genesis is the crux. You know, the Genesis story is told not only in the Christian Bible and the Jewish five books of Torah, but even the Quran has the same story as Genesis. You know, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That one line, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. That one line is the most important line in the entire Bible. That line gives us everything the United States of America stands for. What does it say? It says, God is our creator. He created us, and in his image, he created male and female. What does that say? That tells you that equal rights for male and female were given by God. They're God-granted, God-given rights. And you notice that nowhere in the Bible does it mention anything about race or color. Now, you know full well that most of the people in that region, where the Bible was put together, those people who were the children of God, most were people of color. You know, the Bible, if people would actually read it, would have a much better understanding of the love that God has given us. Learn to love each other because we're all equal. We're on the same footing. We have the same capabilities. We have the same capabilities as God himself. That's why Moses could part the sea, because God's power was channeled through him, because we were built in God's image. We are all part of God, is what we are. We're all energy. The entire universe is interconnected. If we're all energy, then the entire universe is interconnected. Me to you, you to him, you to her, black, white, Asian, Oriental, from other Oriental areas, Indian, African. We're all the same, and we're all interconnected. We're intertwined. You know, there's an interesting story, and this is true science. It was discovered just recently that a forest that trees talk to each other in the forest. How many people know trees talk to each other in the forest? Anyone? They do. They warn each other. If a woodpecker starts pecking on one tree, the other trees in the forest are all made aware of it. But they communicate not by voice, but through fungus. A fungus that grows in the ground and covers the entire floor of a forest. When one tree quakes because of a woodpecker pecking on its bark, another one at the other end of the forest knows what's going on. The plants interact the same way, wither their leaves, close their flowers when the rain starts to fall. On one end of the forest, the flowers close on the other end of the forest. Watch your lawn one sometime and watch the flowers start to close up. I've actually watched when it's dandelion season, a bee land on one dandelion and four or five other dandelions right nearby close their flowers. And some of them open it because they want to be pollinated. This is an awesome world we live in. But it's based on God, and our nation's based on God. And I have put this challenge out, and I've been in the sciences and engineering industry for many years. And I put out the call, the challenge, and I challenge anyone. You could pass this on to anyone you know that's in science, anyone you know that's a disbeliever. Challenge them to prove that we evolved from dirt. Challenge them to prove that we are not all interconnected, that our energies aren't all intertwined, that there is no God and there's no creator. In all these years of science and technology, they have yet to disprove God. Yet they want God out of our nation. Even though our nation was based and formed by God. You know, it's a sad the people that don't have that belief. They have nothing to look forward to. You know, you only live on the planet once. Then where do you go? Do you go to meet God? Does the light switch just turn off? Well, I don't know if I could live with the thought that the light switch just turns off. I felt the power of God. I could tell you some interesting stories of what some people would call the paranormal, but I can actually recall having died in a past life. And I'll never forget that because I was a young child and it was like a second soul came into me. And I could tell you everything about that past life. Then I read years later about a woman that actually recounted a past life. And not only that, but met the family that she said she was affiliated with when she died. And she knew all their stories. Things that could not be known because they're not part of the history anywhere, not part of the newspapers. Our souls go on. We're not destined to die. But if you believe that, think of the life that people lead that don't believe there's a God, that don't believe there's a future, that believe they're all alone. You know, you can have a world full of 3 billion people. Without your creator by your side, you're all alone, folks. I vow personally to never be alone. I've had God pull me up, literally, pull me out of disaster, only because I had the faith that I was on the edge of destruction, the edge of death. And I said, God, whatever, you know, what will be, and just had that faith. People say, how do you do that? How do you have faith when you're about to lose your home? How do you have faith when suddenly you're in the hospital and they say your blood pressure is almost nothing and you're going to die? How do you have that faith? It's easy. You just believe. I pray for this great nation of ours that we come back to God, that we can each make our little impact on one another. I pray for all my friends because they're all good people, all my coworkers, and people that don't believe in God. I pray the most for them because they stand to lose the most. Regardless of what happens in the afterlife, regardless of whether you're at the hand of God, the life you live right now is a lot better with that faith. So our nation was made on God, and we need to keep that, because that faith is what kept a lot of people pushing for Donald Trump as the president. That faith is what's keeping a lot of people going right now. We have no leadership in the White House. We have no leadership in the Congress. Yet we have groups like We the People getting together, all faith-based, to go up against that evil that's overtaken our nation. And I stand with those people. Anyone who stands with God, I stand with. So we're going to close just a little bit early. First of all, I want to thank everyone. And, you know, if you haven't, give me a thumbs up and a thank you. And I like to see that because it keeps my show going. And definitely, please tell your friends to show up. If they want a link, I can send those links. You can share the links I send you. If you know somebody else that wants to listen to the podcast, let them know it's also on. If they're not up this late at night, they can always get the replay. I'm going to leave you tonight with a reading of one of my most favorite poems written in song. And it was a reflection of the enmity of her enmity within the American system. Julia Ward Howe in 1862. The Atlantic Monthly. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Now listen to the words of this. Everybody knows the song, but listen to the words. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. I have seen the watch fires of 100 circling camps. They've built him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. I've read a fiery gospel, writ burnished rows of steel. As ye deal with my contenders, so with you mate my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with the heel, since God is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. And he died to make men holy. Let us die to make men free while God is marching on. Amen. And God bless America. God bless this great United States. And God bless our great president. May he rise again. God bless every one of you. Thank you for showing up tonight to the show. Bring some more next week, same time, same station. The following week, I'm not sure what will happen. It's my vacation week, but maybe we'll have a, hopefully we'll have a podcast. We'll see how it goes. Everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful evening and a great week ahead. God bless you all. Good night, everybody.